You're listening to the Sound and Faith Podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It's awesome.
It is. My name is Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist and any who might be listening to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what a cool reason to have a podcast.
Yes.
Right.
And today, especially because today is a great day.
It is.
In history.
It's a holiday.
Yeah, it is
major,
a holiday.
You know, it's not a major holiday in most people's minds. But.
Do you like candy corn?
No. No, I don't.
You're with a lot of people.
But I like the 95 theses that Martin Luther nailed to his to the door of the cathedral there in Wittenberg.
There was something I wanted to do today for our podcast, but I simply ran out of time. I didn't have time to do it. I wanted to get 95 Reese's.
Yeah,
that's awesome. As a segue, this isn't our major topic today, but it is connected in the big picture because today is Reformation Day,
yeah.
October 31st, 507 years ago, Martin Luther, the German monk who went to the church door. I've been to this church in Wittenberg, Germany. It's so awesome to go there. And nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, starting... He sparked the Reformation,
right,
of the church, the bringing clarity again to the gospel. A great revival broke out in Europe that has continued on to this day.
Those 95 theses, they didn't do it all, and neither did his protest. But these were many. This was the first of many steps that brought about a great revival of gospel thinking, gospel culture, gospel doctrine.
Yeah.
That we, as a church, Faith Baptist Fellowship, are part, you know, that's our heritage. We look back and we say, that's, you know, we come from there, you know, and it's beautiful. You know, the Lord, through his grace, brought us back to the gospel of grace. And we talked about the soul of the five solas.
The five solas,
you did this awesome video yesterday. You guys should go to our Faith Facebook page.
Instagram. The five solas of the Reformation. You know, sola scriptura, scripture alone, solus Christus, Christ alone, sola fide, faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, soli Deo gloria, glory to God alone.
Yeah.
And those were kind of the five pillars of the Reformation theology that took us back to scripture as the only basis for what we believe in our faith.
And clarified the gospel.
Clarified the gospel, yeah.
And yeah, it's a lovely thing to remember and praise God for today.
And in one of the ways that ties in with today's theme, because we're going to be talking about what it's like to be a pastor, bringing clarity to the role of the pastor elder in the church. We are not priests who administer grace or are Christ's representatives on earth in the sense of some kind of, authority over people's lives to dispense or withhold grace. We don't have that. We don't have high priest anymore other than Christ himself.
Right. It totally changed the understanding of church polity, of the way that the church ought to be governed. Right from the top, like we don't have a pope. We have pastors. We have elders. We have overseers, which is the same role. Those three words interchangeably used in the New Testament to describe the under shepherds of the church that God has given the church.
So we're going to be talking today about really broadly the role of the pastor elder in the church, and getting a little bit more personal here in why we are pastors, why we feel God has called us to that.
Yeah.
And what that looks like in our lives. So Pastor Mike, I'll start with you. Why did you decide to become a pastor?
Yeah, so I was the first time I really thought about it, I was new to my faith. I actually talked about it a little bit on Sunday morning. I was new to my faith, kind of weeks in, and I heard this sermon, and the sermon really moved me. I was growing in the Lord, and I remember thinking, I would love to do that. I would love to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I thought, what a blessing that this man, Reverend Jack Darrow, who's now with the Lord, what a blessing he had, and you know, to be able to do this week in and week out. And I remember thinking then to do it that way. I ended up being a missionary, you know, mm-hmm. for a good spell. But yeah, I've always had my heart on preaching the Bible and shepherding people.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I preached my first sermon at 4. Let me get
4.
Well, yeah, let me give you the context, because it's a funny story. It's not real. I didn't really preach a sermon at 4. But I believe God moved in my heart at a very young age to want to be a pastor. And that came out in a very funny way when I was probably about 4 years old. We were stuck at home in Mississippi with an ice storm. Couldn't go to church on a Sunday. And so I stood up on the hearth of our fireplace hearth there and dressed up in my little suit that I had for Easter and pretended to preach a sermon that Sunday. I have no idea what the sermon topic was. All that to say, I do think that God had laid on my heart at a young age in my faith that I did want to tell people about Christ. I wanted to proclaim that. And that took many years to come to fruition in how God worked that out to where I formally became a pastor in a church. But I believe he laid that on my heart at a young age. And the more and more I grew in my faith, the more I wanted to be a shepherd of God's people and serve in the church in that capacity. So, you know, the cutesy little story about being 4 years old, you know, that's something funny to laugh at. But even then, though, I remember as a child being having it impressed upon my heart that the person who is preaching, the man who is preaching, is declaring God's word to God's people. And there was something powerful to that,
amen,
about that, even yeah, at a young age.
That's really cool. So yeah, what path did you take? Like, how did life go so that now you're a pastor here at Faith?
Yeah, so if you take a 4-year-old and you have them scribble on a piece of paper, that's kind of how the path looked. It was not a direct path in life. Some people, I know men out there who have been called to the pastorate who have worked straight through their young teenage years into their young adult years. My path was a bit zigzaggy. But along the way, the Lord called me into ministry, and I was serving in the local church early on in music and youth ministry. And so that's really where it happened. The Lord brought me to a place where I wanted to serve in his church. Mm. I wasn't formally a pastor or an elder in a church, but through that, I was mentored and encouraged by other godly men and women within the church, and was impressed upon to study his word and to grow in it. And as that began, God began to work and build within my heart the desire to be pastoring his people. I was a missionary for a number of years within in Russia. We both of us share that similar background. And then returning to the States, I would say what led to me being in this most recent position here as one of the pastors at Faith was the church we were part of in Oregon for 7 years. I served as an elder there. And an elder is a pastor of the flock. We oftentimes refer to the vocational elders as pastors and the lay elders as elders, and that's fine. But really, they do share the same office, the same role. They're to be shepherding, pastoring God's people. And so as a lay elder within that church, I found my heart more and more drawn to being and serving among God's people. I had many opportunities to preach and teach and lead in other ways, and that really left me with a desire where I just began to pray through, Lord, I feel like I want to do this all the time. Mm. I'm doing it as a lay elder now. I have other responsibilities at another job that I'm doing, but I feel like this is where you want me to serve.
Of course.
And that began the search for a door to open that God might lead me into a pastoral ministry. Mm. Yeah.
Awesome.
How about you?
Yeah, I... kind of similar, I guess. So I was saved at 15, 16 years old. I was almost 16, I guess. And yeah, I felt right away that God was leading me towards some sort of ministry. I didn't know what that looked like. Strayed a little bit when I was 18. But when that straying was over and God really gripped a hold of my heart and I decided I'd follow him and wanted to make my life count for his glory, I went on a mission trip and I went down to Venezuela and flying over the jungles of Venezuela, I saw a lot of different villages of of tribal people, Yanomami mostly, but other groups too. And I was sitting in the front, and I had the headsets on. I was talking to the MAF pilot, Mission Aviation Fellowship pilot, and I was asking him questions about who had been to those different tribes. And I guess I was under the impression that the gospel truly had gone around the world. You know, that who in our day, this is like 90s, you know,
yeah,
who in our day had not heard of the gospel, you know, and heard of Christ. And so I'd ask him, who's gone to this tribe? And he'd say, no one. And this is a repeated refrain, you know, the whole trip. He just kept saying no one. And I was smitten. And I went home and I laid in my hammock that night. I mean, we were out in the middle of the jungle, and I was in a hammock that night praying, God, would you send someone to these people? I just can't imagine life outside of the reach of the gospel. Could you send someone? And it was as if he said, well, what are you doing with your life? you know what I mean? That thought hit me pretty heavy. And so I came home from that trip deciding that that would be the path. And the church affirmed me, and good brothers in the Lord said, you need training, but I'm behind you in this. And so I went off to Bible college right away, right after high school. And then went through missions training with Ethnos 360, which was New Tribes Mission at the time. And then served with them for 13 years. A big chunk of that was in Siberia, church planting among the Buryats, and doing some other things too. And all the while, loving the preaching part of that most, loving opening God's word in front of his people, whether that was in Russian or in English. I loved opening the word. Met Maya along the way, and we got married and served together, and I was sharing these thoughts with her. We ended up not being able to return to Russia because of visa issues. Yeah. And so my home church offered me an associate pastor job in the interim, as I figured things out, as we discerned God's will for our future. So like an indefinite time serving as an associate pastor. So I did that. My pastor offered to mentor me. I jumped on that. I went back and finished my MDiv in biblical languages during that time, and he's mentoring me, and I'm putting into practice things. I'm serving as a pastor and learning to love God's people deeply, and just wanting to preach, wanting to be a preaching, you know, to exposit the word. So the Lord led us to Chadron, Nebraska, after about 5 years serving in that church. I wanted to preach full time. We had a preaching pastor at that church, and so we agreed that this would be best. And so off I went to Chadron, preached there for 10 years, and then saw our replacement come up through the ranks there in Ridgeview, grew strong in the Lord, Pastor Sam Parker, and he took over there preaching, and I moved here and started just recently with Faith, and that's my journey in a nutshell. The whole life,
over a year now. Yeah, you've broken through the year mark here.
Yeah,
with Faith.
Yeah. So I came in August.
It's amazing how time flies.
Yeah, it's been a good year, and I love this church. And that's my path. I hope that wasn't too, I don't know, wordy.
No, not at all. You know, I was sitting here as you were talking, thinking about just all the different things that took place. There's too many to recount in a short podcast, but I feel like I need to share like maybe a couple of books that really impacted me captured my heart. One was Knowing God by J.I. Packer.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
You know, come on now. If you haven't read Knowing God by J.I. Packer, that's a must in your life. That one impacted me greatly. Another one that I read was Shadow of the Almighty this is actually Elizabeth Elliot.
Oh, that's right.
And it's her recounting of the events that led up to Jim Elliot's martyrdom. You know the story of Jim Elliot. He's the one that says he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That statement, you know, stuck with me early on in my sense of ministry calling, missions calling, all of those things. Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Don Whitney, another one that was just very formative in my faith, making me realize that, hey, you know, the Christian life isn't just floating along. It's a discipline. God disciplines you and trains you, and in doing so, you grow in your faith. So there were so many milestones along the way, and then men who invested in my life and mentored me and discipled me. I'm forever indebted to them, and just such great gratitude and love in my heart for them.
That's
for
what huge. They did. That's huge for me too. The men who discipled me along the way. You know, a lot of laymen who were mature in the Lord and who, you know, sought to disciple me. But then a few pastors and Bible college teachers and seminary professors and, you know, people who just love Jesus and love the church and, you know, poured into me. And I certainly wouldn't, God used them in such great ways.
Yeah, and that highlights the importance of a culture of discipleship within a church.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, if you're listening out there, you may not feel called to pastoral ministry or full-time ministry, but the importance of being godly and pouring into the lives of other saints to see them grow in the Lord and grow in their faith can have an impact far beyond just your small local context.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, one of the most influential people for me is a realtor in Central Florida.
Yeah.
A man who just deeply loves the Lord, great teacher, serves in the local church, but he's never been in full-time ministry. And I got a text from him this morning of encouragement. I mean, he's just that kind of guy who just wants to pour into people. And yeah, discipleship is key.
Same here. Pilot in Mississippi, you know, a huge influence in my life spiritually. So
awesome.
That just highlights that right there.
So, like, what's a typical day in the life of Pastor Thomas?
Yeah, I thought about this. You know, we're a multi-pastoral staff church here at Faith, and so your primary role is preaching, teaching, vision. Mine is worship, first steps, and that encompasses a number of things. We all share common pastoral duties here of visiting with people, praying with people, counseling, discipling. I get to preach some also, but I would say a typical day, it's easier to describe a typical week because there's a flow to my week.
Sure.
I usually start, in my context, planning for the next Sunday on Sunday. So we finish up our worship service here at Faith, our gathering, go home, eat lunch. I usually spend an hour in prayer, which is the name of my bed. I spend an hour. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
Yeah. I think you cracked that joke the first time on our podcast. Take a nap. And then normally after the nap, I get up, I look at the passage for the following Sunday, and I begin to think through what songs would fit with this, what scripture readings, what are we trying to move towards here in our understanding. So it starts on Sunday. Monday, work towards coming up with the draft of that, planning out the worship service, coming in on Monday, answering emails, connecting with people, following up with visitors that were there on the previous Sunday. So we normally get anywhere from, I would say, 2 to 5 people who fill out their faith cards. And as part of my responsibilities, it's...
Wait, we have like hundreds of faith cards that come back.
I know, but these are the visitors,
from the
first-time guest and connecting with them.
I follow you.
So Monday tends to be a administrative day. And setting up meetings with people, those types of things for the week. Tuesday is our staff, or with Monday we have an elder meeting, go into that and being part of that. Tuesday is staff meeting. We normally meet as the pastoral staff for lunch. And in the afternoon is usually finalizing everything for the next Sunday. So there's a rhythm to all of this.
Yes.
And Wednesday, it is the newsletter that goes out, any video that we want to produce, any things like that. And throughout all of this, there are meetings that are happening with people in the congregation, preparations for things that are long-term. I usually try to think about 3 to 6 months out in what's coming and say, what do we need to go ahead and get done now to prepare for that better? But you know, over all of this, I would say probably, and I hope this doesn't come across as high and mighty in any way, the most important thing that I feel that I need to be doing for this church is making sure when I wake up in the morning that I spend some time in the Lord's Word and praying and growing in my own faith and being rooted and grounded in the Word. Because, you know, guarding my own heart and seeking the help of the Lord is critical to that before all of the other tasks that have to go on. So I see that as a function of that. I need to be rooted and grounded in God's Word in the morning and seeking Him and praying and continuing with that throughout the day. I mean, so I hope that wasn't too wordy or
no, that's
too jumbled there.
That's helpful.
But what about you? What is...
Yeah, mine's similar. Mine's similar to yours there. Maybe I won't go through all the rhythms of the week, but I'll just say, like, I have every day has certain categories.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a category of prep. I need to do some prep time. It takes me about 20 hours to write a sermon a week, and I have to split that up over the week. You know, you can't just do that in, what, 3 days or whatever. You got to split it all up, and really it's Friday morning when I'm totally finished. And then, so that's one category. Then meeting with people about the church, you know, different things about the church. Maybe it's meeting with an elder to plan elder meetings, or maybe it's meeting with the pastoral staff or the staff of the church. Maybe it's, there's all different kinds of meetings. So yeah. I have a category, just meetings, lots of meetings through the week. And they're all important, you know, they're not just, they all have a function, and, you know, we're going somewhere with these things, and they're good. And then discipleship meetings or counseling meetings. I have a lot of those in a given week, you know, several counseling times where I'm counseling people, and several meetings over lunch or whatever where I'm discipling or, you know, talking with newer Christians or Christians going through harder times or or things like that. And then administrative stuff. There's a handful of administrative responsibilities that I try to keep up with. And those take up blocks of time too. So every day I get up in the morning, have my devotions early, and have breakfast with my family. I love that. And then off to the office I go, and I'm here. I try to keep regular office hours. I try to keep like 9 to, you know, gone for meetings and whatever, but 9 to 5-ish every day, unless I have an evening thing, and then I leave early so I can get in some time with the family. Monday nights, every other is elder meetings, and they run late, and different things like that. So yeah, lots of those categories, you know, ministry and administration and church work, and, you know, just all different things every day. It's very busy, but it's very good.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to be careful, don't we? I mean, I'll just, you know, we have to be careful to guard our schedules. We want to work very hard and put our whole heart into this. Because this is the job that God's given us to do, and we don't have that much time, right? Time is limited. Ecclesiastes teaches us that, gives us perspective. So we want to serve the Lord with our whole hearts every day, but we also want to be faithful to all our different responsibilities. You know, so we have our responsibility to the church, which could take everything, but we also have responsibilities to our families.
We do.
And those kind of things. So
that's one of the qualifications for an elder is having your household in order. And loving your wife and all of those things like that. So you have to be very careful to guard your time. There are times, and there's times in the evening when I'm talking with people, meeting with people, but I try to balance that and make sure that there's time that's being prioritized for the family along the way.
Two big things I do every week to do that, and I'll just say this, like Fridays I don't take any meetings. I do a little bit of church. I do prepare my sermon a little bit in the morning, but I don't take any meetings. I don't actually hardly ever come to church that day to the office. And then Saturdays, we don't do anything that's ministry related. It's a family day, and we keep that as a family day. And I do things around the house and, you know, hang out with the kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, moving along here in this discussion, thanks for sharing all that. And I know this might be a lot of new information for people, but, you know, we have pastor elders here. We have elders, pastors. Is there a major difference between these two terms? We use them differently. I have a perspective on this. I'm interested to hear your perspective, but we might differ a little bit.
I don't know. I see it as one office, and the words used interchangeably in the New Testament, but we do use the terms a little differently, and I think it's good that we do because it helps for clarity. So we at Faith use pastor as a term for somebody who's serving full time, or you know, somebody who's a paid vocational elder. And we use elder for the other elders who serve in the same role but have other jobs. You know, they do it voluntarily.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the two. That's the distinction. There's no real distinction, not theologically. Like all of our elders are pastors. They love the sheep. They want to shepherd the sheep. The word pastor comes from shepherd. They want to shepherd the sheep. But we use the word pastor for our three that are. Full-time
vocational. Yeah. This is what we do.
Right.
And I'm same place on that. In the New Testament, it's one office. The terms can be used interchangeably. You could look at any of our lay elders, and you could rightly call them pastors, because the elders are to shepherd the flock. They are to pastor the flock. So all of our elders here do that. Mm-hmm. They they come alongside people, they pray with them, they disciple them, they shepherd them, they guide the church, they lead in that way. And the callings are, in a sense, to the office are one and the same, but sometimes there is a calling to do this full time.
Yes.
And to labor in preaching and teaching.
And be freed up. Like, that's the idea. That's the idea behind compensation for a pastor, is that you free him up to put his whole attention towards the old language of not having to be occupied with worldly cares.
Yeah.
You know, he can put his full attention towards the church. And we can do that with a few, you know, not with all of our leaders, but we can do that with a few, and that's the difference.
Yeah, and that is a great blessing.
Yes.
That we're able to do that here at Faith. And so essentially, pastor, elder can be used interchangeably. We use the terms here, pastor to refer to the vocational elders, mm-hmm. and then elder to refer to the lay elders. So why then does a church like Faith need three full-time pastors on staff?
Yeah, not every church needs that, and some churches need more. I mean, obviously, it has to do with a lot of different factors, one of them being the size of the church and the amount of work that is required to shepherd effectively the congregation.
Yeah.
And so we feel like right now we need three. We could need more in the future. You never know. But right now we need three to be able to effectively shepherd this size of congregation, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the in a nutshell, that's the big reason.
So this past summer, I was going on sabbatical, and we did not yet have a pastor of discipleship.
I'm still bitter about this. Just let me say that.
You were functionally the only pastor on staff during that time.
Yes.
In a congregation like ours, on any given Sunday, we're getting close to like 450, yep. 475 yep. between both services. You know, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge, and some things, I never felt like we were getting it all done, you know, for sure. The elders really were sacrificial in their time to step up their game, to be able to put more time towards the church than they normally do, which was very helpful. And others too, you know. And, you know, as it turns out, it all worked great. The Lord provided, and I was very nervous about it. I shared this Sunday night at the meeting. I was nervous. I shouldn't have been. I should have just, you know, trusted the Lord because the Lord is faithful, and He was during that time. But it highlighted for me the need for at least three pastors here. You know, we definitely need to share the load, and over a long period of time, that wouldn't have been tenable. You know, a lot of things would have fell through, and a lot of people would have felt uncared for, and, you know, it's important to have. So that's why we have three guys that just pour their whole heart and lives into it. And everybody, I will say this, our pastors and also our staff, everybody who serves this church serves with their whole heart, and it's lovely to see. They just love the church.
That's awesome. Well, we feel so blessed by that, too. I mean, I can concur. We love the fact that we are freed. I'm freed to serve in that capacity. And so, yeah, we feel like here at Faith, as our church grows, being able to share the pastoral duties is very important.
Can you, this isn't on their thing.
Yeah.
Can you say, do you have a pastoral philosophy that you've kind of nailed down in your life? And I know I'm springing this on you.
Yeah, you are springing that on me.
I'll just share mine, and if you have one, that's fine. If you think about it more, but a professor made me do this in seminary, and I've held on to it. Like, if you ask me what defines like how you go about this, it's basically three things. I want to love God. I want to love God's people, and I want to preach God's word.
Mm.
You know, those three things are, that's my whole ministry philosophy in three little nuggets, you know, and really, I pray this all the time. Lord, help me to love you most. Help me to, you know, love you by loving my neighbor and all of this. Help me to love your people, and help me to preach your word.
I would fully concur with that. Yeah. I mean, those three major aims right there. Mm-hmm. And of course, preaching his word, I do preach formally sometimes, but teaching it.
Yeah. You teach all the time.
Teaching it, letting it be through the songs that we plan, through the scriptures, through the comments that get made in between songs, in you know, couching the sermon in the gospel message there and what we plan together in the worship and other things too, in counseling people, doing discipleship. All of those things like that.
Well, the word is everything about your ministry too.
Yeah.
You know, the word is the word is like we sing the word, we pray the word.
Absolutely. Awesome. Some of your, you know, let's bring in this plane in for a landing here, just as we go through these last couple of questions here.
Some highs
of the big,
and lows.
Some of the big joys in ministries, highs and lows, things like that.
I'd say some of the big joys are seeing people come to Christ or also grow deeply in Him and their love of Him. Mm. Like, I love the aha moments when somebody is just digging in and seeing the scriptures and loving Jesus and following Christ and being a small part of that. I don't take any credit for it. I know it's all the Spirit of God at work through His various means. But just seeing it and being a small part of that, that's the big thrill of my heart. You know, to see a new believer become serious about Jesus is sweet to behold.
Yeah.
Or understand the gospel better
I would say that you stole my thunder. It is the light going on in like a new believer or a young Christian going, hey, I see that there. You know, they see something in scripture for the first time. They grow in their love for the word. Seeing also people serve.
Yeah.
Begin to discover, you know, that their sense of belonging within the body of Christ, and they jump in and they start getting involved in things, and they feel that sense of, I'm part of this. Mm. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body. That's another great and exciting thing. Yeah. I would say as far as challenges go, you know, some of the challenges are guarding your time and being careful not to, how can I say this? There's empathy and there's sympathy with what people are going through, but there can be a point at which you feel a sense of, I've got to personally carry this weight on my shoulders, and leads to a sleepless night, or it leads to, you know, a worry and those types of things. And I think we can be very compassionate and loving with people that are maybe going through trials and things like that. But it's not, I can't carry that into my marriage. I can't carry that into my family. And that can be a temptation along the way, and having to guard against that.
Yeah. I'd say another challenge is leading in such a way where we are genuinely loving people, but serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And not allowing people pleasing or those kind of things to creep in and taint our view, you know, like we are, my job is not to please the people, my job is to point the people to Christ. And I want to love the people well and serve Jesus Christ, and I want to keep that really clear in my thinking. And I think one of the challenges is keeping that perspective when things get a little challenging or complex, to keep that perspective. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the people, and I
would say along with that is having to slay the me monster, me idol, wanting the platform, wanting to be the center of attention. You know, self can be a very big idol, and so constantly having to be on guard about that. I think it was Spurgeon one time who a lady said to him, that was the best sermon I ever heard, and he said, I think the devil told me that just like 10 minutes ago.
Oh.
You know, and not to say it's wrong to compliment your pastor or encourage him in that way, but you know what he was trying to say there was that you can get done and be like, yeah, that was, you knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. You can start thinking it's all about you.
It's all about you and guarding against that. Yeah,
no, that's a definite challenge. And I think it boils down to keeping your eyes on the Lord and staying humble before Him and
all of that,
keeping the gospel central.
What are you going to say if someone is maybe interested in pursuing pastoral ministry, a man out there?
My first word is go talk to your pastor or elders. You know, like you here, I think you need, I think you need three things to really confirm that the Lord's leading you this way. You need the desire. And if you're hearing this and you have the desire, that's one thing. You know, he who desires this work desires a good thing. So you need that desire, like God is leading you. This is what I want to do. I think you also need the affirmation of brothers and sisters in Christ who can confirm the gifts and calling. You know, that those who can see your life and say, yeah, I believe that this is a path for you. That's helpful to see the affirmation of other believers who are rooted and grounded in truth. And then opportunity, you know, like as you're given opportunities, you know, your pastor could work with you as far as maybe helping you find places where you can get further study, hopefully in the church, but, you know, maybe maybe in a seminary, you know, those kind of things. And the Lord will lead you along the way. But I think the very first step you should do is go talk to a pastor or an elder in your church.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
So your first advice is not go out and buy a suit.
Yeah. And a vest. And yes. The first time I preached, I had a three-piece suit with a vest, and I really wanted the chain that goes from the pocket watch.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. It was that day. It was in the early 90s.
Oh, well, thanks, Pastor Mike, for this time today. It's a good episode.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's helpful for people. Hope it's interesting to you.
Yep. Thanks for Pastor Appreciation. We did this because we are so grateful for this month.
Yeah. And
we love serving you for Faith Baptist. We love serving this church.
Thank you, Faith Baptist, once again. God bless you all out there. This is Sound and Faith Podcast. I'm Pastor Thomas.
And I'm Pastor Mike.
Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.